When I made 50 mil.
Righto, from Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
Well, where'd your point five go, mate? What happened there?
There was absolutely no room for an optimistic take yesterday, was there? No, that was well off the mark. I think I was just a misguided attempt to be optimistic in a sea of economic gloom. So, no, got that wrong. GDP came in at 0.2%, very much at the lower end of recently revised expectations. I will make the point, Mike, it was 0.248. So it was very close to being rounded up to 0.3. there was a downward revision to Q3 as well, so from 1.1 down to 0.9. Annual change 1.3%. GDP per capita was flat. Let's cheer what we can, Mike. There were some technical factors in there that affected the numbers. So you get this problematic balancing item, which is the discrepancy between the sort of the sum of the parts and the total GDP number. That was a drag. There was also quite a big drag from what's called unallocated taxes. But sort of, I suppose, to further look at what positives we can find, there was a positive impact from tourism in the number there. You can see the contribution from the primary industries. Big lift in contribution from mining, which I think was a little unexpected. But primary industry was up 0.9%. Construction sector was a drag. I think the warning flag was there, and that building work put in place number for Q4 that was quite a bit weaker than expected. The services sector did grow a little more than expected. It's a big part of the economy. If you want a sort of a summary takeaway, the water cooler takeaway, despite the technical factors, the economy did grow in the second half of the year. It was just a little weaker than expected. So we don't have the momentum coming from Q4 that we thought we had. If anything, again, if we're trying to look for positives here, it gives the RBNZ a bit more rope to play with in terms of how to react to, you know, the current or the forward-looking situation, given the economy is growing at a slower pace. So presumably, the spare capacity in the economy isn't getting used up quite as quickly. I don't think it's a real game changer for them because they've just got so much uncertainty in front of them. Their conundrum is really what happens in the next few weeks. The government point of view, Mike, it's another headwind, isn't it, for them? It's highly likely the economy will take a hit from the Middle East conflict, so it just leads into more economic disruption. I hate to say it, as the election looms, you've got economic uncertainty. So, yeah, all in all, a little bit disappointing, but hopefully we get the growth in 2026 that we're looking for.
So we're hanging on to 26 now, are we?
Or, we are. Okay, we are. Cool.
Now, yep. So the Fed, I mean, who would be a central banker, for goodness sake?
It's a very difficult situation for central bankers. So they left it not long after we spoke yesterday. They left rates unchanged. If I look at their statement, they said economic activity expanding at a solid pace. Inflation remains somewhat elevated. The uncertainty about the economic outlook remains elevated. Implications of developments in the Middle East are uncertain. That is the buzzword of the moment, Mike. Uncertain and elevated, there's two. If you look at the dot plots in both 2026 and 2027, only one interest rate cut is suggested. That's a long way from what President Trump thinks should be the track of official interest rates. But also, if I look at the actual futures market, it's only pricing one cut over the whole of those 2 years. At the press conference, key takeaways, he did say the policy rate was at the upper end of the neutral range, so it's slightly restrictive. They did talk about rate hikes, decided they didn't need to go there. He says energy prices will push up inflation. Importantly, the supply shock is a one-off event. What you've got to worry about is the second round effect. The US economy remains strong. And he also said he isn't going anywhere. He's not leaving. He's not going to get pushed out. If I just look at how the market reacted, Mike, just sort of take a wee pause here. At the end of February, the US two-year rate was at 3.37. At the moment, it's at 3.85. It's gone almost 50 basis points since the end of February. The US 10-year getting up towards 4.3%. Both of those at the top of the range we've seen them at over the last 6 months. Share markets are lower and the US dollar is stronger. So, look, it's all looking a little bit grim.
Yes, it is. Give me some numbers.
Yeah, so in the last 24 hours, Mike, there's sort of been this realisation that this maybe isn't going quite as well for the US president as he thinks it is. And so share markets have actually reacted. It's been a tough last 24 hours. The Dow Jones is down 0.86%, 398 points, 45826. The S&P 500 is down 0.75%, 6574. And the NASDAQ is down 0.89. That's 195 points, 21,957. But global markets were weak. The FTSE 100 down over 2%, 241 points, 10,063. The Nikkei yesterday down 1,866 points, 3.4%, 53,372. The Shanghai Composite fell 56 points, 4,006. The Aussies got smacked yesterday, 1.65%, 8,497. The New Zealand market was quite weak yesterday, lost almost 2%. 263 points, 13,051. Kiwi dollar, 0.5836 against the US, 0.8284 against the Aussie, has rebounded a little bit there, 0.5061 against the euro, 0.4367 against the pound, 92.25 Japanese yen. Gold has fallen, $4,589, and Brent crude, as we look at it, $109.63.
Yeah, good weekend, mate. Appreciate it as always. Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher.